Welcome back to Joystick and Mouse, video game news and reviews. I'm Alex. I go by Cross in the gaming community. I've got Diddy here.
Howdy, folks.
There's Don. And how about J-Dimes?
Happy New Year.
There he is. What's happening, Tim? Everybody happy to be back here. Happy New Year. Happy 2019.
Happy 2019.
Holy cow. Did you know that the Earth is...
that first check where I mess up the year.
Yeah, the Earth is now 2019, according to a lot of smart people on the internet. Did you guys see that?
No.
No.
Oh, man. There are so many... things like posting
there,
like
there are so many people that
happy birthday Earth, you're now 2019 years old. Come on. Anyway, we're here to talk about video games, and we've got some discussion around some anticipated video games for 2019. We'll jump into that. Before we do, how's your all's New Year? Don, you want to start?
Sure. Yeah. New Year was great. New Year's itself was pretty low key. Nothing exciting. Christmas was nice.
Good.
Kids were over, had a good time. My son did phenomenal.
Yeah, what did he
get? My wife did good too. She got me nice presents, but my son got me a Glenfiddich 21 year scotch.
Ooh, that is good stuff.
What does your son do for a living? This is the same son.
He works in
a
warehouse.
Switch,
yeah,
right?
He bought me a Switch too. Not only that, he bought his sister's boyfriend a Switch this year for Christmas.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
This is a good fella right here.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he takes good care of his old man. That's good.
He's a good kid.
Yeah. That's awesome. How about you, Tim?
Man, we had a good time. Went down to see my folks. Got some nice things.
Down in Hampton, Virginia. Yep.
We were down there for a few days and then came back up and hung out with V's grandma for a few days and then went back to work.
Good.
New Year's was good, though.
Yeah.
Chinese food and some movies.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Very good.
Christmas Day, we were home by ourselves. We almost went out for Chinese food.
Did you?
We almost went out to go. We were like, we should go for Chinese food. Everybody else does it.
Yeah, we went up to Ohio. We visited with Deanna's side of the family. And we hung out with a bunch of Italians. It was a great time. Ate a lot, drank a lot, and played some games. And I actually brought my Switch up and we played some Jackbox, which was really fun. Volume 3, to be specific. You know what Jackbox is?
Nope.
Oh, what? You know what Jackbox is, right, Tim? Okay.
Nope.
So Jackbox is like a series of games. They're like trivia board games and stuff that you play from your phone. So you go to a website, you enter in a code, and it actually lets you log your answers and other stuff on your phone, and it pops up on the screen. It's really cool.
Huh. Never heard it.
Yeah, it's really fun. So we had a really great time with that. Aria, it was really fun watching her do her thing. So
they have it for the Switch now too.
What's that, huh?
The You Don't Know Jack, they have a port for the Switch.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Oh, yeah,
You Don't Know Jack.
So You Don't Know Jack is on the first party pack. So it's the people who make You Don't Know Jack make all these other games.
All right.
They're all pretty cool.
Yeah, they have 5 boxes out now. So we bought box 3. We used to play the hell out of box 1. I've got to get the rest of them. They're fun. They're really good party games. So, we came home. And Aria, like what I was saying, was really fun to watch. For those who don't know, I have a 19-month-old, and watching her on Christmas morning opening presents and stuff was hilarious. She likes to take one strip of paper at a time, and then she throws it away. She actually throws it away herself. Oh, which is great.
Well, did she play with the boxes?
Forever.
She loved the boxes. She could care less about the toys.
Yep.
But she loved the boxes. It was great. So we did a lot of that. We watched a lot of Frozen.
Stop it. Stop. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And so in the New Year's, we ended up just...
oh, my God.
Me and some friends, we hung out down here. Deanna and I put the baby to bed and then had some friends over, and we were just chilling and playing games and rang in the new year, a small little group of folks. So it was good.
Nice.
Yeah, it was relaxing.
Stay up for the festivities?
No, we put her to bed so that mom and dad could have some fun. And then we woke up promptly at 6 a.m. and regretted it. So, ooh,
6 a.m.?
Yeah, she woke up pretty early. So it's been a good kind of leading up to 2019 since the last time that we spoke. And we've got some fun news topics that we're going to talk about. As always, you can visit joystickandmouse.com to stay up to date on the latest and listen to past episodes. But here we are. We're going to talk about the most anticipated open world games of 2019. Now, Don, you found this article and you posted it on facebook.com/joystickandmouse.
I did. It's the time of the lists. You know, when, yeah, I mean, anytime you go to the new year, you get, you know, like the best games of last year and the best, you know, anticipated games of this year.
Yep.
And something we talk about a lot here is open world games. And so I found this list. I thought it was appropriate for our little group.
You know, before we jump into the list, one thing that, an epiphany that I've been having lately about games is that the more open world it is, the harder for me it is to get into it.
It is definitely harder for me to get into it. Because for me, when I get into an open world game, it just becomes this huge time sink.
Yeah.
Because I can't stick.
Overwhelming.
I can't stick to the story.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to go off and do the side missions, and then you're like, oh, I'm never going to finish this game, and yes, I want to play this game.
Finish. I've got 5 games stacked up there that I haven't opened yet.
Yeah, I've got Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I've got Red Dead Redemption 2. Both really great games, and I really enjoy them, but
yeah,
it's hard. It's like...
I knocked Red Dead Redemption. It's gotten better. I've played it a little bit more. It has gotten better. Yeah.
I think the key for people like you and me is that we stick to the main quest.
So if you've followed my page on Facebook, I played God of War a little bit.
What is it?
Diddy_AIE.
There you go.
I got back and I wanted to finish God of War. I'm in the game 5 minutes. I'm off on a side quest.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's tough. Especially games like Fallout 4 where they're like, your settlement. Go save your settlement. And it's like,
oh. And you go talk to the God of War, you have your guy that upgrades your armor and stuff for you. And every time you talk to him, he wants you to go do something for him. And it's like, stop it. Shut up. No, I don't want to do anything for you.
Don't distract me. Come on.
I don't want to do anything for you. I'm just trying to get to the top of the mountain.
How open world is God of War?
Very.
Is it really? I thought that was going to be more of an adventure game than anything.
There are lots of side quests that you can do.
Interesting. So let's jump into the list here. So this is a website called player2.net, and it says it is that time of year again, the time for Matt, who's the guy that we're talking, that wrote this, to gaze into the future and think about some of the big titles coming our way in 2019. The first one on this list is Crackdown 3. So, did you guys play the other Crackdown games?
I did not play the other Crackdown game.
So, I didn't either, but I know plenty of people who have, and this is why it's worth kind of talking about. It is one of those... I feel like it's kind of what am I trying to say? It's not really a sleeper hit, because it's definitely had success. But I feel like, cult following. Like, there's following behind it.
I have to agree with you. I think it's more of a sleeper hit. I don't... It's not definitely not mainstream.
No.
You said Crackdown to people. Other than gamers, I don't know if anybody would know it.
Yeah, it's like well-received. It's similar to XCOM. Like, a lot of people love XCOM. But I would say that there are more people out there that haven't played XCOM. Maybe before XCOM 2 came out. But, like, that is another game that is just amazing that you just don't really hear too many people having conversations about.
Picked up XCOM 2.
You have to like that kind of game, too.
Yeah, that's the other thing. It's
Target,
you know,
had it on clearance for like $6 right before clearance.
Oh, really? Dude, great game. Yeah. It's hard.
I picked that up in Final Fantasy 7.
Nice.
Or 17.
17.
Whatever the new one
Final,
is.
Oh, 15.
15?
Yeah.
Yeah.
17 is...
like $6 bucks each.
So, Crackdown 3 is coming out.
I'm sorry. I'm thinking 10. Final Fantasy.
Huh?
Final Fantasy. Their numbering system is so screwed up, and they brought out one game after.
They brought out
15 after 10 or something. You know, 10 after 15 or something like that.
It was like they brought out 13 before 12.
Yeah.
Or something. Oh, no. They brought out. No, it was like 11 before 12. I don't know.
Which one's the MMO?
Well, 11, but then there was also Final Fantasy 14, which is an MMO as well.
Maybe that's the one I'm thinking of, 14.
And
it was very confusing.
Yeah, they've kind of got a weird thing happening. But Crackdown 3 is coming out. Not a whole lot of... So this is the same thing that happened, I think, with the other Crackdown games. There are some really over-the-top commercials that they have about the Crackdown games. This latest one, I think, has like Terry Crews and some other people in it. But they kind of go a little over the top and it is fun. It's entertaining. But like, you don't really get a good sense of setting up the story. Like, it's not like the commercials we'd hear about for Red Dead Redemption 2. So, you know, I don't know, maybe that's where it suffers a bit, but people are really excited about it. I think it's mostly those who have like the cult following.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. Yeah. I don't know anybody that plays it. So
Willie went back and played.
I know a few people that do, and they really like it.
After the launch.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that he finished it, but I know he at least started them. He enjoyed them.
Okay. So cool. All right, good. Well, this is where it gets really interesting. The Division 2.
Has Willie ever met a video game that he doesn't like?
Oh, well, that's true.
He likes video games.
He does.
He's pretty open, too. He's got an open mind about it. He
plays a lot of
everything. About anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're right. I off the top of my head, I
unless he just has really good taste in games.
That he doesn't get, or that he started. Well, no, I take that back. We have bought used games at times where he's like seen something about the game. We're like, oh, let's play this. And then he just, I think Condemned was one of those games.
Oh,
he just,
Criminal Origins. Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't get into it.
That's a crazy game.
Yeah.
But yeah, I never beat that.
Yeah.
His way to find something enjoyable.
Well, The Division 2 is something that you enjoy. The Division specifically.
Yeah.
So, the first Division started strong, but ended with a whimper. Is kind of what people are saying. Endgame content was confusing and unsatisfying in the Dark Zone, which started out as a promising idea, ended up becoming a mess. Do you agree with that?
So, I don't know that I call it a mess. I think it has a lot to do with expectations. So, the Dark Zone is exactly what they said it was going to be at the beginning. It's PvP and it's a free-for-all. And the frustrating part is, you can spend time doing the grind in the Dark Zone, and then you get all your stuff jacked before you can extract it out.
Yeah. Right?
And that's frustrating. But I think one of the changes they made while I took a break from the game was, at one point, there were things that you could not get in the Light Zone, the, you know, normal play,
yeah,
that could only be gotten in the Dark Zone, and it frustrated people that they couldn't get the stuff out because they weren't really kind of good enough from the PvP standpoint. And so they fixed that eventually at one point in the patching system. When I went back to the game probably a year ago, I found it enjoyable. I mean, I'm not a big Dark Zone person.
You enjoy more of the PvE stuff.
I enjoy the PvE. The Dark Zone, I think, is fine if you're playing with a group. You know, I think people have to know their skill level and say, all right, if I'm not good enough to go running through the Dark Zone, don't go.
Yeah,
or that's a lot of PvP in most games.
You know, but I enjoyed the game. Like, I thought that at the end, or by the time the end came around, they had made enough improvements to the game, and there were a lot of people still playing. They were helped by the fact that a lot of people didn't like Destiny 2 when Destiny 2 launched. And so because Division was out still putting out new content and a lot of it was free, people started coming back to Division 2.
So I think Destiny 2 gets a lot of bad press.
I
liked it. I thought it was good.
I started playing because I got it for free.
They went back and made changes too, and people went back to the game.
I still play it. I like it.
Yeah, I play it every once in a while. Like, I got it for free because Blizzard was giving it away. Yeah. And so I ended up just downloading it.
I haven't bought
the
expansion.
A lot of
the
guys that I played Division with, they're not still playing Division right now.
Yeah.
They're back playing like Destiny.
But are they excited about...
Or they're playing... there's another game that just came out not too long ago that a lot of them are playing, but...
Are they excited about Division 2?
Yeah, I think so.
Or do you think Destiny 2 is going to keep them from going to that?
No, I think people are going to go back to Division 2.
It's set in Washington, D.C., which is like our hometown here.
And a lot of
guys
don't
think about
like,
that?
You know, a lot of people don't do the science fiction side. You know
well,
what I mean?
Yeah.
I might play it for that reason.
For the Washington, D.C.?
It's home, yeah.
What do you think about that, Tim?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to play it regardless. I would have probably bought the second game whether it was in D.C. or not. But the fact that it's in D.C.
We'll all need to get it on PC or something.
I'll probably play it anyways, but
that might be fun streaming fodder.
Yeah, I don't know. What will be really great is if they make it Xbox, if they make it anywhere. So if I can play it on the PC, if I buy the Xbox version or whatever, I'll do it.
Yeah, because you like playing that on Xbox.
Yeah, I mean, that's where my community of people that play.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Division 2, we'll see how that goes. I think I've never played any
FPSs on console. And I know people always say like they're better to play on console.
They are. Not on console, on PC.
On PC.
I'm sorry, yeah. On PC because the aim is better.
But you see that, I mean, well, the aim is better because you have the control of a mouse, but you see that they're bringing support to Xbox.
It's there.
Yeah.
It's up to the game manufacturer as to whether or not they support it, but...
So an Xbox is a PC anyways.
Yeah.
Essentially.
It's running a version of Windows, it's running an Intel processor, it's basically a PC anyways.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. The next game on this list that I'm personally excited about is Anthem.
Yeah, this is the one I'm excited for. The one on the list that I'm really excited for is this one.
So this is made from BioWare. BioWare is historically one of my favorite developers. Yep. Lately, they've kind of left me a little bit feeling a little sour about them because I wasn't a huge fan of Andromeda, the Mass Effect Andromeda.
Nobody was a huge fan.
But it was okay. It wasn't terrible.
But it wasn't... I mean, when I play a Mass Effect game, I expect it to be an incredible... immersive experience.
Yeah, I thought the story was not as good as it could have been.
It just felt very blah to me.
And that's always been BioWare's thing, is their story is phenomenal.
Yeah, and that's where it was just...
Especially with Mass Effect.
Yeah, Mass Effect is one of my favorite franchises, and, you know, we'll see about Anthem. So, let's see. Another shared open world, this time from BioWare. This sort of game is a bit out of BioWare's wheelhouse, but I am very interested to see how it pans out, especially if the reports are true that BioWare's best and brightest were pulled off Mass Effect to work on it. So that's one specific piece that I wanted to bring up. If that is maybe why Andromeda was kind of hit or miss for a lot of people, maybe that will be a saving grace when it comes to Anthem.
This game sort of has a Mass Effect feel to it, too. You know,
it really does.
Titans.
Yeah, it kind of feels like that mixed with a little bit of Titanfall.
That's what I was going to say. It reminds me a lot of Titanfall.
Yeah, yeah.
And like I wonder if they really took some of the Titanfall people and put them to work on this game, because you know
it's the same.
EA, the studio that I forget what the studio name is, but
for
Titanfall.
Titanfall, yeah.
But they. EA finally actually bought the studio. So before they had like a working relationship.
Right.
EA was publishing Titanfall, but now EA bought that studio.
It's on the tip. Anthem? No, Anthem's the game. man, that's going to bother me. What's the name of that studio, guys? Respawn. Respawn.
Respawn.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm picturing the title screen.
Yes, exactly. Anyway, yeah, so we'll see about Anthem. Really looking forward to that one. Days Gone. This is another one I'm
looking forward to this one, too.
Yeah, I'm kind of into it. So, a good old zombie game, you know, zombie killing game.
Is this the one with the guy from Walking Dead?
No.
No, he kind of looks like him, though.
Death Rising.
Oh, yeah, Death Stranding.
Death Stranding. Rising? Stranding?
Stranding, yeah. So, Days Gone... is a game where, like, this is the one where you typically see the guy, kind of gruff looking guy with the baseball cap on backwards on the motorcycle, on the Harley.
Yeah.
And he's getting chased by hordes of zombies, and then you have to set up traps and stuff and try to escape from the zombies and kill a bunch of zombies, and great gruesome fun and zombie killing there. So, very interested in that one. Have you guys seen much about it?
I've seen a couple, you know, some online articles and stuff, but it looks pretty good. Reminds me a little bit of DayZ.
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of that.
Another Norman Reedus game without Norman Reedus.
It really does look like...
Basically, yes.
It really looks like Daryl. Like it could be Daryl. There's no doubt in my mind that Days Gone will be a polished product that fits the Sony exclusive mold from the last few years. Open world, high production values, and tight gameplay. Those are a couple of things that this article has to say about it. So we'll see. I'm very interested in learning a lot more about it. Oh, yeah. PlayStation exclusive. Yeah. So Tim, we'll, we'll have to get you. Oh no, you have a PlayStation.
I have a PlayStation.
Yeah, you just really like your Xbox.
I do.
That's the thing.
I was gonna start God of War, but then I started Tomb Raider.
Isn't Tomb Raider good?
Tomb Raider is good. It's beautiful.
Isn't it gorgeous? Yeah, it is gorgeous.
It's absolutely beautiful.
So that's an open world game. So what makes you like that?
I don't know if I'd say Tomb Raider's open world.
Really? I feel like it's a big map.
Linear. I mean, it is a big map, but it's
a big game map, and you can sort of go anywhere. But I think the story is pretty linear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. The story sort of keeps you on.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. Biomutant. This is one that I've seen a bit about over the past year, and it's kind of mysterious to me, but I love the look and concept of it.
I like it. I like that it's done by the people that did Just Cause, and Just Cause is one of those cult games for me. I like the Just Cause games, and I'm glad those guys are doing it. So if those guys are involved, I'm probably in for this one.
Yeah, so according to the article, this game looks bonkers, and I'm totally down with that. Biomutant is a title being developed by a group of ex-Just Cause developers, like you were just saying, and it tells the tale of a mutant gun-toting, ass-kicking possum, or at least I think it's a possum. Yeah, it's some kind of rodent of some kind. Whatever the creature is, this game is looking like a cracking title that could be a surprise hit. I would agree, man. I think, like, I look at the videos and stuff, and for those of you who are listening to this, when you guys have a chance, just Google some of the gameplay from this thing.
Yeah, it looks
fun. Wild. It looks just totally
Borderlands-ish. Like just a little bit nuts.
Post-apocalyptic Redwall.
Yeah.
Like with rodents and stuff running around at war. It's like, it's cool, man. So I totally dig that. I think that is the, so if I were to take this list and just talk about the things that are most surprising to me, that like I'm like most anticipating being surprised about, Biomutant is number one that I would say, like, I'm looking forward to just being surprised about that. Anthem is one I'm most excited about. And just in general. And then probably the thing that I'm like least excited about probably is Crackdown. Just for me personally.
Yeah, probably the one I'm most excited to play would be Anthem.
Yeah.
That's the one I've definitely followed the most and pre-ordered. And
Tim, you got to be all about that Division 2.
Yeah, Division 2. I'm really excited to see what changes they make to the game based off of kind of the long run that they've had,
right,
of the first one, because the first one's been out,
it's been out for a long time.
Yeah,
that's a spring release for Division.
February
Division 2.
Yeah, February. Is it? 15th?
I'm going back into it, hold on.
Wait. Oh no, I'm sorry, March, you're right.
March, okay. Right. March, yeah, so it's soon.
Well, it's still first quarter.
I still need to put my pre-order in for that.
Oh, February is Anthem.
February is Anthem. That's game that I think would be amazing if they could find a way to port it to the Switch.
The what? The Division?
Yeah.
Hmm.
If they could get Division 2 on the Switch, I think that could be.
Mobile gaming?
Yeah. Play it wherever.
Fun. That'd be really fun.
Oh my god! Speaking of Switch, Starlink is so much fun.
Are you having fun with it?
Oh my god, it's fun.
I passed up on buying that game so many times during the holidays. Oh, it was on sale.
For Christmas, I got a whole bunch of Starlink ships, and then right afterwards, they were on sale for half price, and it was bad.
Oh really?
It was really bad.
I love it.
Well, but it's a lot of fun.
Right,
Nintendo
in and let
does
us,
a good job of getting you to buy toys to go along with
what does
Nintendo.
Nintendo.
I always love those games. I love those toys to life games.
I agree.
Like Lego Dimensions and
you do Disney Infinity.
I have tons of them. I absolutely love them.
Yeah.
Love those games.
Yeah.
Well, fun. It scratches all those itches of collecting and gameplay and all that kind of stuff.
It is fun. Well, if you guys would like to write in and let us know your thoughts on some of these titles and maybe what's missing from this list that we reviewed, feel free to email joystickandmouse@gmail.com. And let's see. So we're going to jump into a sort of, well, it's a video game review, but it's going to be a little different from what you guys are used to. Stay tuned.
Yes, and the reviews were so mixed. I'm surprised.
All right, so today's video game review is actually not quite a video game, but it is a movie that kind of plays like a video game. It's Bandersnatch, which you can get on Netflix. It is the Bandersnatch is not a dirty word for a lady's part or something.
It's not.
It is a
I think
movie.
It's interesting they put it out under Black Mirror, though.
Well, it's totally a Black Mirror thing.
Black Mirror messed me up with that pig. Let me tell you. you just start out of the gate with the pig.
I know.
So here's your thing, people. If you have not watched Black Mirror on Netflix, go watch it.
Go watch it.
It's a Netflix show now, right? They bought the rights to it?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It is probably, if it's not the best show on Netflix, it's in the top five for sure.
Yeah.
It is a fantastic show that makes you think.
You know what? Okay, so on Geek 30 Happy Hour, you told me it is basically like the British version of the Twilight Zone.
It is, yes, it's a modern Twilight Zone.
Yeah,
and absolutely.
That's a great way of putting it. So this is under that umbrella of Black Mirror. Bandersnatch is the story of a video game designer, and that's another reason why this is kind of relevant here. Who in the 80s is developing a video game called Bandersnatch based on a book that he was reading, which is a choose-your-own-adventure book. So he was making a video game that was a choose-your-own-adventure video game, and then to make it even more meta, you are choosing the adventure that this person is going on as they're making the video game and experiencing craziness based on your experience. Or based on the experience that you're dictating towards this person. Eventually, it becomes even more... I'm trying to think of a way that it's not going to spoil it. But let's just say it becomes way more immersive at the end of it than you would think. And depending on the choices that you make, it could either be hilarious or... it could be really effed up, like really effed up. They give you opportunities to, at the end, like after you kind of get through that, you know, choice path or whatever, to go back to where you originally made that choice to kind of go down that path and maybe choose something else. And what's kind of crazy is that you will notice that the original choice that you had made when you go back there is not there, and it's actually a completely different choice. So you now have an opportunity to choose like a completely different path. Huh. But that other path was only there because you kind of went down this other path a different lifetime ago. You know what I mean? So it's like really meta, really different. The most interesting TV experience I have had in a long time.
Very immersive. Is amazing.
Yeah,
it is. The internet is up in arms that they cannot play these games. Everybody, that's all I've seen for like the last 3 days is how do I play that game?
Go to your public library and check out a Choose Your Own Adventure.
No, the games that he's making.
Oh, like the Bandersnatch game.
The Bandersnatch game. Everybody wants to play the game. It's great.
You'll see at the numerous endings that we kind of experienced, you could see why this person's... So neither of you have watched this, just listening at home. We were talking about it earlier. Neither Tim nor Don have watched this. You kind of see why you can't play it. Like, there's a reason kind of for it, if you were to kind of look at the quote-unquote history of why. So it's super entertaining, very nostalgic being in the 80s and kind of that golden age of video games as video games were being developed, and like we're talking about like Commodore and like all these other like old school platforms, you know, that you could play games on. So super fun, very interesting. I'm going to say this as sort of a PSA. You have to have the appropriate... device in order to watch it because it is interactive. So Deanne and I watched it on our smart TV. We've got a smart TV down here in the studio.
It apparently works on iOS.
Okay.
It doesn't work on Apple TV for some reason. But when I pull up Netflix on the iPad, it says an interactive.
Cool. So And that's probably why. So you know, at the points where you have to make the choice, there are two choices, and you choose. We have a Roku sort of remote, and mm-hmm. you know, you just push left or right on the thing, and it chooses it. But for whatever reason, you can't do it on an Apple TV, and we have like the 4K Apple TV, so it's the most up to date thing. So you can't do it there, but you can do it on a gaming console. So your PlayStation, Xbox, if you're streaming anything on there, smart TVs, like I said, yeah, I think your computer, your
obviously any
iOS device like, or Android like device, iPad or those sort of mobile devices should work. To make it easier for everybody kind of listening at home, you will notice that there's a red banner when you click on the actual piece of media itself, the Bandersnatch movie. If you see like a red banner with kind of like, it looks like a blast or like a star or something, it is that means that you can interact and you can experience Bandersnatch on Netflix. So that is my video game review. I give it a solid 3.5 out of 5 stars because the story itself was it's not my favorite. Like, I don't know, Black Mirror has some amazing stories. This had a good story.
Are there pigs?
No pigs. No pigs. And if you've watched episode 1, you know what we're talking about. It had a decent enough story. Interesting enough characters. Nothing really kind of caught me off guard. There were a couple really cool parts.
Is it better than the dating episode?
Remind me about the dating episode because it's been a while.
One where like you go out, it's kind of like the.
I thought that one was sort of cool.
I like that episode.
Yeah.
The one
where it's random, how long you stay together.
Oh no, maybe I haven't seen that one yet. We're on like season 3.
I think it's before season 3.
Really?
I don't know. I don't remember when it is.
Good episode. But yeah, good stuff. If you have Netflix, you might as well experience it. So that is it. You guys have any other thoughts or comments on that?
I don't. It sounds really interesting. It's sort of a video game.
It is. And it could totally change the way that we experience.
We've talked about these storytelling video games a lot. And
we have.
And I think this could be some of the future of video games.
I think so.
This kind of interactive entertainment.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. I think this is the future. I think like I look at VR as the future of video games. I think
absolutely.
This is absolutely the equivalent of the way that we're going to experience like just this sort of style of entertainment.
Yep. I'm looking forward to the Ready Player One days.
Oh my God. Could you imagine if Ready Player One had this sort of thing? Oh yeah.
Haptic suits and the haptic
It'll be that way.
It'll happen.
So yeah, write in. Let me know if you've watched Bandersnatch. I would love to hear your thoughts on it. It is Joyce.
Such a name.
joystickandmouse@gmail.com. And gentlemen, that's going to be a show. First show back in 2019. Thanks everybody for listening. So Don, where can people reach you?
On Twitter, Diddy_AIE, and on Facebook, also Diddy_AIE, and we are back streaming God of War for the new year.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to stick to the main story. Of course, I said I'm going to stick to the main story. 5 minutes in, I'm off doing a side quest.
Was this your second time playing through?
No, I haven't finished it.
Oh, you haven't finished it yet?
I haven't finished. I took a break because there were so many other games and I wanted to get to. I said, I'm going to go back and finish. 5 minutes in, I'm doing a side quest for that stupid dwarf. So I am trying to stick to the main story and get through it, but it's a lot of fun, and I'm really enjoying it.
Very good. And Jay Dimes, where can people reach you?
Jay Dimes. Jay Dimes on Facebook and on Twitter.
Beautiful. You can reach me facebook.com/cross715. And again, our website, joystickandmouse.com. Let us know also, we're considering doing some live streaming of the show recording itself. If there is enough interest, we've had a couple of folks reach out, but if that's of interest to the broader audience, we'd love to hear from you. Let us know. Leave us some feedback, joystickandmouse@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you.
And any topics that anybody would like us to maybe discuss and go over?
Absolutely.
Let us know.
Yeah. All right. Well, until next time.
See you later, folks.
Later.
Bye.
If you like this show, check out more great content at incastmedianetwork.com.
All right, to 2019. Don't Cheers. Worry. Clink, 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 Gotta clink, 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 clink. Oh, there we go. Jada Himes, yes. Clink. Oh, I'm clink. Too far away. Clink.
Here, clink, clink, clink. More clinks.
Nobody will know. For the strong beer.
Oh, yes.
Is it too stout for you?
No.
No, you love stouts.
No.
I thought you didn't like stouts.
No. Stouts. What is your favorite one? Smutty Nose.
Smutty Nose.
That's a pretty hearty beer.
It's very hearty.
Robust.
Yeah,
porter.
Very smoky.
Yes.
Now, my favorite beer of all time. Well, okay, that's probably a toss up. But my favorite beer of all time was made by a company called Otter Creek, which is in Massachusetts somewhere.
Yes.
I believe. They used to make something called Stovepipe Porter.
Oh, I've had that.
It was the smokiest porter you have ever tasted. It was great.
Love it.
Loved it. Absolutely loved it. And they quit making it.
The sons of bastards. Damn it.
Bastards.
That's the phrase, right? The son of a bastard.